Welcome to the Rose City Forum. I am your host, Roy Moore. And as promised, I do happen to have Lou and Jeff with me again here in studio. And so it's fantastic on this, particularly wet, windy day here in Oregon. I don't know what it's doing down in Salem, Jeff, but it's pretty soggy up here. But I'm so glad that you guys were still able to come and be here, because this is an important discussion we're having. I mean, a lot of Christians just don't realize that this state is on the precipice of actually being able to be turned. A lot of people who just lived and thought and grown up is like, Oregon can't be moved. It's like, no, it can be. And the Faith and Freedom Coalition is working with the other groups to be able to deliver that turn. So I'm really just glad that you guys are here, and I'm very thankful to have you guys in the studio again here today.
Thank you, Roy. And we are working with other groups as Christians, as conservatives. We need to band together and not have differences. But we are in such an important area of our country right now, and we can make a difference here in Oregon. For example, in the 80s, we had the House and then the Senate, and we had a speaker which was a Christian. We can do that again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, Jeff, you're down there in Salem. So what are some of the big opportunities that you see in Oregon? It's easy to point out all the problems, but what are some of the big opportunities that you see in Oregon that's giving you hope that this can be accomplished?
Well, I mentioned the registration as being 25% Republican, 35% Democrat, and the rest are unaffiliated. And it's that large pool of unaffiliated voters that we can find out how we might help them vote for us. Mm-hmm. And some of that can be done by organizing county chapters and organizing organizations within churches to make sure people are aware of the issues and understand how important it is to support the freedom-loving side of the coin, as you might say. So I think we were talking in the last session about how the progressive liberals wanted to proscribe to parents how they should vaccinate their children, and there's a lot of other examples of how they want to restrict our rights.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the gun issue, they want to restrict our Second Amendment rights. And so many things they want to take the rights away from Oregonians. So Faith and Freedom is a coalition of people who are motivated and understand that our freedom, in my view, comes from our faith. In other words, we have a worldview, a Judeo-Christian worldview, that has allowed the most freedom of any country in history.
Mm-hmm.
And we have others who have a differing view about how our laws should be structured, and those folks want to take away many of those rights. And I've heard it described as a secular humanist worldview, people who maybe don't hold to the Christian worldview, which I saw on your website is something you support and encourage. So,
mm-hmm.
The registration, the new groups we've run into, like the Slavic Christians who are getting engaged and are going to be voting, and largely were not. And then the fact that the Democratic Party itself understands that a good chunk of the unaffiliated voters are conservative voters. And if we can identify those through various projects and programs, we can grow our list. And to me, winning elections is about understanding who your voters are, identifying as many as possible, and then ensuring that they are encouraged in ways that will help them vote.
Mm-hmm.
What I find too often is that we conservatives dwell in what I call spray and pray marketing. We don't really know who our people are, but we spray out messages and hope and pray that they respond. And one of the reasons the Democrats have held sway here, the progressive liberals, as some describe them, is that they have what I call a direct voter contact approach. They know who their people are, and they knock, they call, they encourage until they get that vote. And if we could play a similar game, we would win. And in fact, we did that in 2010. And that year, we did a bunch of different things that helped us identify voters.
Mm-hmm.
That was a year we tied the House, and we're 300 votes away from tying the Senate. And, you know, if we return to that, which is one of the distinctives I would love to bring along and do with Oregon Faith and Freedom, is to do a lot of that work to help identify that those folks, so we could actually say to a candidate, yeah, you can run for this district. It looks pretty bad because there's only 10,000 Republicans and you got 13,000 Democrats, or you could put it conservatives and liberals. But we have a list here now of some 6,000 conservative unaffiliated voters you might appeal to. And now with that kind of approach, you could begin to win some of these challenging districts.
Absolutely. And even some Democrats, I've been noticing there's plenty of the very old-school Democrats. You know, old-school Democrats are not leftists. If JFK were running today, he'd be running on the Republican ticket that Democrats would never accept.
Amen.
Him. I mean, literally, he's, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, is not a Democratic talking point. That's not on their platform. He's a very strong international negotiator. So a lot of the older Democrats are actually themselves susceptible to being pilfered by conservatives because their views were Democratic, but the Democrats aren't actually Democratic anymore. They've gone very far socialist communists, and although many older voters may just vote Democrat out of habit, they don't actually hold those beliefs that their party holds anymore.
I think you're right there, too, and I reflect back on Dennis Richardson and that surprising victory where he became Secretary of State. And I wonder, and I think part of the reason he won is that his opponent, Brad Avakian, had attacked so virulently those Christian Bakers and who were just standing up for their Christian, you know, their worldview and who they wanted to work for. And I wonder if that didn't disaffect some Democrats who would not vote for him. And that's how one of the reasons Dennis won.
Jeff and Roy, I think we have a positive things and hopeful for Oregon here. When I think about it, there's groups like we're thinking of starting prayer breakfasts, and there's group national group wants to come in and help us and do it. And so what we could get to the Democrats and Republicans, independents, into the House and Senate to come and to witness to them and by the conservative and biblical views of our Constitution. Also, that we want to be involved in the school boards. I'm so interested in and want to help our kids because of my grandkids and great-grandkids. And so right now there's groups that we'll be working with that get Christians, conservatives, to run for the school board. And they only win by a few things. You can imagine in your area, if you have two or three churches vote for a Christian person on a school board, we could win the school boards all over the state. And there's
These are not huge elections. These are not the billion-dollar presidential elections. These are a couple hundred of your friends and buddies and associates voting for you.
Yeah, there's, I think, over 97 school boards. And so we are getting the name of all the school board members. And those people out in your audience, they could be running for the school board. If you're thinking of what they are teaching our kids, it starts in the education. This starts 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, that the left, the radicals, invaded our churches. So we need, in our schools. And so in the schools, if we get the right people there, we can, they vote for the superintendent. They vote for the right superintendent. So a lot of people can't afford to go to Christian schools. What about those who cannot afford to go to Christian schools? What help are they getting? And in the LGBTQ, it's really into some of the schools. It's a handful, but they have a big say-so. So people as Christians, if you have a heart, you know, for the kids, if you want to do something besides just voting, run for the school boards. That's a great start. And then it's be training ground also to be representatives and senators.
Along with that, Lou, obviously a basic thing every Christian should do is be concerned about their government and register and vote and pray for their leaders.
Absolutely.
But I do want to bring up another timely reminder as 12/31/2019 approaches. that is the deadline for using that distinctive thing we have in Oregon called the Oregon Political Action Tax Credit. And that is a $50 credit, not a deduction. Doesn't apply to your federal taxes, but applies to your state income taxes. So anybody who pays state income taxes could essentially redirect $50 per filing individual to our PAC, the Oregon FaithandFreedom.org organization PAC, and they can go to our website there and make a donation, which really isn't a donation. It's really just taking money that's coming out of your pocket already and saying, rather than send it to the state, I'm going to send it to this organization. And you know, in the last legislative session, the progressive liberals passed a bill taking some money out of that pool of money that ends up in our tax overpayment called the kicker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So essentially, they have stolen $50 from each one of us by reducing that pool. You know, they couldn't end the kicker, but they just took some money out of it. And the unfortunate thing is, kicker doesn't really tell people what that is. That's a, we structure our taxes and our revenue and our revenue forecast on a two-year biennium. And if we do better, then there's more money in the pool. Some of that needs to come back. So it'd be like going to the grocery store and saying, hey, I'm buying $40 worth of groceries. Here's a $50 bill, and having the person at the other end say, taking your money, we don't give any change back. That's what they did. They took some of our change back and stole $50. So here's a way, if you're unhappy about losing $50 from the actions of the liberal-controlled legislature, you can give it to a PAC who will then work to change that so we get people who will not be nibbling away at our money.
Absolutely.
It deserves to come back to us. So I don't know if people have been aware of that, but we get what's called a kicker. They've stolen some of that. Here's a way to essentially redirect it. And this is something that's so hard for people to understand. There's probably less than 9 to 6% of the people in the state who understand and do this. And it's such a, you know, literally anybody you talk to, there's a 90% chance that they are not doing this.
And that's $100 a couple.
Right.
It's $50 for individual and $100 a couple that can do this.
People want to help us do things like help change the legislature, help elect people into school boards. They can. This is one easy step. You know, it's money that you're going to lose anyway. It has to go either to the state or to a PAC. And we can help turn Oregon's direction away from where it's going and encourage people to get involved and vote and change our direction.
Yeah, Jeff, it could be $50, up to $50 a person, $100 a couple on that if they give. The two things that they can do is to vote and to let the state pay for our values and give us $50 a person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They can get more, but they can only take that much off their state income tax.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that I find that's really particularly great about this tax credit and this tax opportunity, actually, is like you mentioned, you have to give it up anyway. It already has to go. And personally, I would rather it not go to that hole. You know, they just like pouring money down a rat hole, hoping eventually it's going to plug it up. But the hole is never plugged. what is it? We spent $1 billion on that website. And we never even got a website that worked. Just $1 billion gone. You know, your state dollars at work or not, as the case often is.
The problem is growing, and we're not doing anything about that. There's so many problems with our budget that aren't being addressed. So we need to get people into those positions who actually be able to act on them. And one of the issues, of course, we have in Oregon is that our state is really controlled by the unions. And so things like this PERS problem, the people who are elected right now really can't affect that and change it because they are essentially puppets of that union. And that's the sad reality. And the interesting thing about the unions is that when you're now with this Janus decision, if you're a Christian and you're a union member, you can get out of that union and you can take the money that they've been using to support candidates who believe in abortion on demand and so many bad things, and you can take that money and you don't have to be part of that union anymore. It's a much freer situation now because of the Janus decision. So if we've got listeners who are union members, they should think about getting their money out of that union because it's not supporting their Judeo-Christian worldview.
No, but even they themselves can actually, I've been seeing more unions, especially the blue-collar workers, have been turning more towards Trump because they've been feeling under threat. Even the police unions. Police unions used to be pretty solidly blue, along with many other union leaders. But as they're realizing that they're now being targeted for destruction, I mean, the left is all about, you know, painting all police as these horrible, racist people and trying to get rid of a lot of the blue-collar jobs. And there are a lot of blue-collar jobs in Oregon, many blue-collar union jobs here. And these are individuals that are being targeted by the left to be removed, to be taxed out of existence. And I think that's a great opportunity for the Faith and Freedom Coalition and for any other Christian groups or conservative groups to be able to reach out to these individuals like, hey, you know, they're targeting your livelihood. You may not necessarily agree with us, but we're not gunning for your job.
There's hope. You know, when I look at what hope do we have, and so we have the hope of, look at the judges from the circuit court up, that's happening. So we have a positive thing with this president, the pro-life, you know, the abortion issue, he's hitting that on. And we as Christians, that's a big issue with us. Mm-hmm. And then also the economy. I mean, the economy is the best in 70 years. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of positive things. And then we're looking at the police and military. The other side, the left, wants to cut this down, have illegal immigration. They're fighting the police. They're fighting the military. So there's a lot of positive things that's going on in our country. So we have the base, and I believe most of the people in America, if we use our power, we can change. We can change Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
We can change the United States. And for the Constitution, which is built on biblical principles, and this Constitution is just the Lord was in it. There is no doubt about it. I remember Franklin, they had 3 days they took out that they prayed for this Constitution, made sure that they had it right. And the Lord has given them the wisdom. And we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our president, the leaders in Congress, and the judges. And if we use prayer and if we get behind that Christian values, we can win.
Mm. Absolutely. They're definitely more popular than people think they are. Like often people, you know, many conservatives I know just assume that a minority's equal Democrat vote. And it's like, well, not necessarily. Just because they like the free stuff, just because they like some of the stuff they're doing, doesn't mean they morally agree with them. Most of the Hispanic community is vehemently pro-life. They are very pro-life because they are very Catholic. And that's another opportunity for Christian groups and conservative groups. They'll say, like, hey, these people are voting against your moral values and really targeting that.
And the 2 points that we talked about this, about the values of the immigrants that are coming in,
mm-hmm.
you know, is pro-life. And I think they will change once they get involved, become citizens.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they will see the difference between the left and also the constitutional conservative lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that every decision you approach should be approached from the fact that you have a Judeo-Christian worldview. And I know there are people who, because of our president's past lifestyle, have been offended by that lifestyle. But even though his lifestyle was not a Judeo-Christian worldview at that point, what he's doing now reflects that, and he has been the most consistent protector of the Judeo-Christian worldview and of Christian values and of Christian religious freedoms that we've had in decades. And I know, as a person who did some work for Dr. Carson's campaign, I was talking to somebody at the RNC convention who was on his team, on Carson's team, and he said, do you know that since Donald Trump has, you know, secured the nomination, he and Dr. Carson have been talking daily many, many times. So I think that even though there are people who are offended by that, you have to choose the person who now, at this point, is going to defend your worldview the best.
Mm-hmm.
That, at this moment, regardless of what his history has been, is Donald Trump.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of
a question about. So any person who realizes that the crux of these decisions has to be who supports your worldview should realize that we would be in a completely different place if we had Hillary Clinton as president right now.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, the world stage would be different. There, ISIS would not be defeated, but there, you know, obviously our economy would not be doing what it's doing now. And these are things that we come from a president who in the past said, we can never. That was Obama, in my thinking. That's what he always said. To a president who says, we can do this.
Mm.
We are doing it. And so, you know, it'd be wonderful if we could convince Donald Trump to come out and support the thought that we could actually turn Oregon from blue to red in a race like that. But the immediate thing is we've got to help ensure that we don't continue with a House and Senate that is supermajority status, where really the only defense that we have for some of these bad things is that, you know, that ability of the Republicans to withhold the needed number of people they have to have in the chamber to conduct business.
Roy, when Jeff and I was back in Washington, D.C. a few months ago, we're talking to people, and some believe that the President Trump has changed. They look when they people quote what he has done. Well, that was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the Lord forgives, and we all fall short.
Mm-hmm.
We all fall short for the, you know, the glory of God and what we do. So we're not perfect. And when you look at the two sides, the choices of, you know, pro-life, you know, the economy, the judges, and then you look at the other side, pro-death, once a crow, every area of our life, from where we live, you know, what cars we're going to have.
Size of your soda, whether you can have straws.
Exactly. You know, it's, and so we have to look, do we agree with everything that this president says and so forth? You know, no. But we look at what choice do we have, and he has been the most pro-life and pro-Christian president that we ever have, even greater than Reagan at this point.
Absolutely. It reminds me of a thing I was reading just a few months ago. It was a great little satire magazine. It was like, you know, conservatives have to choose between a president who doesn't represent their faith and a president that's openly hostile to it.
You got it.
And yet, in reality, he is representing and protecting. I mean, look what happened to that Christian pastor in Turkey who'd been languishing in prison under Obama.
Mm-hmm.
When Trump came in, and now when Trump wanted to do some different things in Syria, he's made our economy in a sense a weapon. In other words, he could say to the Turkey, you know, we're going to move some soldiers out here, but don't get out of line, because I can use our economy to get to a point where your own people will be so unhappy with you that they'll tell you to stop doing that. And you know, so Trump's, you know, make America great again. That's what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's also been helping with other parts. I've been seeing him be far more active than any president in my recent memory in helping to bring the known plight of Christians around the world to the forefront. You know, whenever we would hear about, you know, disenfranchised individuals, it was always those that we need to let into our country or into our borders, you know, or those from the Middle East. It's like, you know, they should just be allowed to go into Europe, wherever they want. And it's like, and only President Trump has actually said, no, Christians are the largest targeted minority group anywhere in the world. And that, you know, these are people that we should be focusing on, and we should not be, you know, supporting, helping do business with those who are going to be limiting their freedoms and their rights to, you know, express their religion. So I totally agree with you guys that Donald Trump, despite his, you know, his past, which is definitely not a beacon of Christian piety, has definitely come a long way in his behavior and his actions to be able to be a president that has united, in a way, many different factions of ironically, the left and the right, and a lot of the center, just not the far left. The far left still hates him desperately. But I wanted to ask, we just have just a very few moments left in the program, and I wanted to ask you guys, what is the single biggest, best way that people can be involved? In about 1 minute or less, what's the single best thing that if somebody had to do it, this is the best way to be involved?
Jeff, why don't you make a comment and see how they can contact us?
Well, the best thing to do before 12/31 is to examine, make sure they use their tax credit. Go to our website, OregonFaithAndFreedom.org. Look for the donate button and donate there. Now, there are other things you can find out about there. We're recruiting people who we would like to be church captains. We're recruiting people who, you know, would be contacts in a county, because we'd like to get organizations set up. Because in our thinking, we deem that as, you know, more grassroots level. It would be similar to what AFP did 10 years ago when they organized and brought a bunch of new volunteers into the process. So go to our website. Definitely donate, because if you're like most people, you're not using that political action tax credit. It's going to come out of your pocket before the 31st. Then look at the other things that we mentioned there. And join our email list, because that is a way of, and you can email Jeff K at OregonFaithAndFreedom.org if you want to join our email list, and then we'll include you in updates about how you can get more involved. Jeff K at OregonFaithAndFreedom.org is an email you could use. The website is OregonFaithAndFreedom.org. Look for the donate button. Mm-hmm. And we just have scant days left in the year. 10 more. And if you haven't acted, you must act in this calendar year to have it apply to this year.
Right. And they can get involved with their precincts, you know, with their party, and volunteering for with us also as we build Faith and Freedom of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to really thank you guys for being able to be in here. I'm probably going to be donating before the 31st of myself. I don't want that state to get that money. Not if I can help it. So I just really want to thank you guys for being able to be here and talk about these important issues and how people can get involved. So I just really want to thank you, Jeff and Lou, for being able to be here in the studio today.
Thank you, Roy, and for what your station is really doing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just so glad that you guys were all here. And if anybody wants to get in contact with us here at the station, they can always feel free to email me at therosecityforum@gmail.com. That's therosecityforum@gmail.com. And I hope that you guys will be listening tomorrow and every day here on 1330 KKPZ, The Truth.